From Harry Hurley Way and the World's Playground to the Broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame, you're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Hello there. 7 minutes past the hour. Thank you for waking up early in the morning. Did you have a great weekend? And perhaps for many, it was an extended, beautiful, glorious, is it possible, four-day weekend. If you grab Thursday, our Independence Day, and then decided, hey, you know what? I'd like to also be off on Friday. And then if you are fortunate enough to be off on the weekend, boom. The quadruple Lindy performed with perfection. Well, I'll tell you what, we were busy. If you follow, and I always ask you to, and I can promise you that the numbers are beautiful. We had an amazing June, and we're off to a good start in July. And we track the analytics very, very closely. So the digital footprint of the Hurley in the Morning program is vast, and it is because of you, and I thank you so much for your listenership, and I thank you so much for your readership, because we can't do it without you, and we don't try to fake like we can. What an extraordinary several days it has been. You have the President of the United States, Joe Biden, fully exposed. Look how long it took. Look how long we have been saying what the National Democrat media refused to say. They knew it. Now, I will tell you, at some point, so there has to be an autopsy on who knew. Look, if you didn't know, you're incompetent and you should be fired. If you did know and you covered it up, you should be fired. It's not a trap. It's merely reality. Now, you call it what you will. I always refer to it as the four stages of the truth. And then finally, the truth becomes self-evident in what's known as the fourth stage. Well, we hit that. We only hit that because of June 27th. Think about it. It wasn't but minutes before that debate that you had the Democrat media, Joe Scarborough. This is the best version of Joe Biden there's ever been. Sharpest. I mean, they just lie. And again, if they're not lying, then they're terrible at what they do. And you're going to tell me that, what, I'm able to see this for all these years? And the Washington press corps that's right there, they're just finding out about it? I don't think so. Just go back just a week or so ago. 2 weeks ago, before the 27th, and we could play a montage right here of defending Biden one after the other, we can't keep up with him, he's so sharp, you wouldn't believe what we see. Meanwhile, I've been saying, come on, they have cue cards that say, stand up, sit down, here's your podium, here's your way out. Come on, they have pictures of this stuff. This isn't new. They didn't just figure this out. Who needs it? They say, oh, it's normal. This is what any White House advance team would do. No, it's not. You don't need note cards that say Vice President Kamala Harris is smart. That's a new storyline. That's old on Biden's cue cards. But this is what the media, they're like, uh-oh. Joe's not going to make it, it looks like. Now we've got to rehabilitate Kamala. So now we're being told how smart she is. Oh, really? Is that when she says, I like school buses. I like yellow school buses. Do you like yellow school buses? Yellow school buses are nice. I really like yellow school buses. Am I lying? I don't think so. So Biden has a make or break. Got to remember that term. Writing myself a note. I'm writing myself note cards. Hold on. They're at the printer right now. Harry, you are the mayor of the morning. Harry, sit down. Or better yet, stand, because you stand. Stand while broadcasting. And face microphone. Get about an inch from your windscreen. Speak. Say words. I mean, this is what we have. I'm not making light of it. This is actually what's happening. And it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. So make or break interview. And it was not good. Let me see if I think I have notes. Give me a second. I think I have notes here in my briefcase on David Axelrod. Because it'd be much better for me to share his words. Because if I say it, it's considered partisan. And even though I've been one of the few in the country, Sean Hannity, Brian Kilmeade, a handful, that have been telling the truth for years. Like, come on. You've got to see this. David Axelrod said, quote, Biden proves delusional in denial. Now, let me put this on hold for just a second. I always tell you that you can find out either what is going to happen or what is happening in real time if you are simply willing to embrace the truth, to be totally dispassionate about it. So, I don't know if you're aware of this, and I rarely go on the site. I used to go on it every day. I know Matt Drudge a little bit. Well, Drudge Report isn't Matt Drudge anymore. It's weird how they never really announced that he sold it. They've never really announced it's really not him, but it's not. I know it's not. Nobody's had to tell me. The site completely did 180 degrees. All pro-Democrat all the time, viscerally anti-Trump, and always defending Joe Biden. But I decided the other day, all right, the debate's over. It was a disaster. Let's see what Drudge is doing. So I think I did this on Saturday. I decided, let me go look at Drudge. Listen to this. Here are the headlines, one after the other after the other. Keep in mind when you hear me say these things that you couldn't find anything negative about Biden. White House provided questions in advance of interviews. We told you about that. And now it's been proven with two radio talk show hosts. One unfortunately lost her job. Biden downplays debate performance, but can't remember if he watched replay. Stephanopoulos did something that was very clever. He held Joe Biden's hand, helped him when he could, but gave off the appearance that it was a tough, hard-hitting interview, that he was asking the right questions. I have to say, it was pretty good from that sort of deceptive, but well-disguised deceptive interview. Biden downplays debate performance, but can't remember if he watched the replay. Stephanopoulos said, did you watch the debate? And Joe Biden said, I can't remember. What? You can't remember? At the time you did the interview, it was like a week before, after the debate. You don't know if you watched it again? Then he said, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world. Ugh. He's running the world. Axelrod, Joe's defiant delusion. Nate Silver, odds only 28%, he meaning Biden, can win re-election. And then they have Biden orange. See, he was mad that he thought they had him all pasty white and sickly looking. So he's been orange ever since. He is orange, man. More headlines. Dems freak. We're doomed. Credibility crisis. I'll drop out if God tells me to. Then there's more headlines. President's physician met with Parkinson's specialist in White House. Dem senators rallying to oppose. The week when big Biden donors started defecting. Barry Diller dumps. Katzenberg under fire. Biden calls himself black woman. Aging accelerating lapses more common. Jill's momentous choice. Dems try Harris on for size. I mean, this was one headline after the other. And there had never been any bad headlines about Biden. Much more after this. It is the Hurley in the Morning program. Thanks for being with us.
Hurley in the Morning.
If you really want to know what's happening in Atlantic City, it's Harry Hurley every single morning.
WPG Talk Radio.
Stick with me.
95.
She's not lying.
Fox News commentary.
Arkansas sues Chinese-based discount website Temu for deceptive practices and data theft. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
If you had $1 million in 2009, today it would be worth less than $700,000. Thank you, big government. Hedge against runaway inflation with gold from Birch Gold Group. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. I trust Birch Gold, and you can too.
Text the word SHELTER to the number 989898 and get a free, no-obligation info kit on gold. Text SHELTER to 989898 today.
Online discount shopping site Temu is a digital wonderland of cheapness, but that wonderland comes at a steep price. Your data, your privacy, and more. That's why Arkansas AG Tim Griffin is suing Chinese-based Temu parent company PDD Holdings for deceptive practices and data theft. AG Griffin claims the site is using spyware and malware on its app to not only extract your data, but all of your information. He alleges the site sells junk at rock-bottom prices not to make a profit, but rather as a means to an end, and that end being access to all of its customers' information. Griffin also says Temu owner and operators are former Chinese Communist Party officials. Temu is the number one mobile app, so all of this is really concerning. Similar to TikTok, another Chinese-owned app, the risk is not worth the reward. Delete Temu. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com. You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning.
I listen every morning.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
So we made the observation that, and I made this observation the night of the debate, that it's over. The Biden presidency is over. I don't even know if, when this is all said and done, if he's going to be able to be president for the next 6 months. Because if you can't be the candidate, he's going to have to resign. I mean, this is going to be wild if this happens. And I'm telling you, I mean, look, there's a side of me that wants it to happen because look at the world. Look what he's done. Look how bad things have gone. Now, if I'm just being strategic and political, I don't want this change to take place. I mean, think about it. Trump has been campaigning against Biden, the failed Biden presidency. If all of a sudden, now, if it's Kamala Harris, then you just keep it going. And it's now Harris as the nominee. And she will be tough to just roll past. But it is clear, and I've pointed this out as well, the Democrat media wants Biden out. All you have to do, look at people like Jake Tapper, that were defending everything Biden. And now they're not. There's an echo chamber. They don't do a memo. Just everybody knows. Wait, we're not with them now? No, we're against them now? Yeah. And away they go. Wall Street Journal has an excellent piece. You may have heard in that crazy Stephanopoulos interview when Biden said that he might consider the only thing that could make him drop out of the race would be if he got a message from the Lord Almighty. Well, the Wall Street Journal, in a fabulous op-ed titled "The Almighty Calls for Biden." Mr. President, the Almighty is on the line, not the deity you invoked Friday night in your interview on ABC. The big guy appears to be sitting out this presidential race. We mean the closest thing to the Almighty in American politics, the Democratic media establishment. They want you gone, sir. And the question is when you admit it and oblige. That is a great and absolutely honest framework there. Members of the House, Adam Smith, Jerry Nadler, Mark Takano, Joe Morrell, all calling for Biden to drop out. You've got Angie Craig of Minnesota, Lloyd Doggett, who was the first, and he did it while we were on air nationally working for Fox News from Texas. Representative Paul Gravala of Arizona, Congressman Seth Moulton of Massachusetts, Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois, they've all called for Biden to step out further. Behind the curtain, unbendable Biden versus breaking point Dems. The explicative is going to hit the fan on Monday, meaning today. This is Axios. When Congress returns, a House Democrat told us, people are scared about their own races, but they're also worried about the country and about democracy. This is really looking like it's going to happen. Will Biden be able to survive this? I don't think so. Programming note, I meant to tell you about 23 minutes ago, you are stuck with me, unless you don't want to be, then you're not stuck with me, but you're stuck with me for the next 7 hours. And it figures I'll be fine, but it figures Sunday night into Monday, and especially after taking an extra day off, I did not sleep well last night. Not at all. But I'll be fine. It's going to be adrenaline driven, and I don't take stimulants, but just natural adrenaline. I'll be fine. But yes, you are stuck with me for the next 7 hours, 4 hours of the Early in the Morning program. And it is my honor to fill in today for Brian Kilmeade. I note that Guy Benson is filling in for Brian on Fox and Friends. And your humble, unassuming public servant, I will be filling in for Brian today on the Brian Kilmeade Show, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. So you've got me until 1 o'clock this afternoon, straight through. Looking forward to it. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll be back. Much more, a whole lot more, including the lowest polling number yet. This is Nate Silver, 538 polling, that I'll be referring to when we come back.
This is the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network.
Thank you. It is 30 minutes past the hour, early in the morning. Three stories that you can follow on our WPG Talk Radio 95.5 app. Atlantic City and others got hurt. The next New Jersey governor must fix Chris Christie's mistake. Read all about it. I've got the story. It's hard-hitting, but it's fair. 10 legends who made Philadelphia 6ABC Action News great. And Dateline Margate City, Ken Mosca wasn't the problem. Read about it.
From the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network, I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow. Back to work and the heat rolls on. It's going to be a sweaty, steamy week overall for South Jersey. Hazy, hot, and humid today with sun and clouds. Inland high reaching for 91. A little cooler along the immediate coast, closer to 80 today. Partly cloudy and sticky tonight, low 75. We'll do it again tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 90. 88 on Wednesday with a few thunderstorms possible, too. Get weather 24/7 wherever you are. Download our free mobile app today. Here is an important safety.
Hurley in the morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. You're listening to Hurley in the Morning.
Hey, Harbor Township. I'm from Margate.
Listen at home or in the office on your smart speaker. Just say, play WPG.
Brigantine.
Pitman.
Galloway.
Hurley in the Morning on South Jersey's talk station. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
I'm going to let you in on something before I even hit the publish button. I worked on this during the break. Give me just a second here. A couple more keystrokes. And it's ready to go. And I got to add a pretty picture, of course. Let's see. Boy, this is going to be something. Give me just a second. Let me... that's not going to work. Hold on. I got to go get this picture. Yeah, I know. This isn't good radio. I know. Hold the phone. Oh, there's a pretty picture. I like this one. All right. Well, why didn't it? Good. I thought the picture didn't import, but it did. All right, I mentioned to you that we are filling in today for the great Brian Kilmeade. What I didn't tell you is this is our spectacular guest lineup thus far. Now, if you want to cheat, but you don't have to cheat, Brian's show really begins at 9 in the morning. But there are a number of radio stations around the country. We're one of them because your boy right here, me, the guy with two thumbs, I go until 10:06 to be exact. So we carry, you will hear me open this morning if you stay with me the whole way and then join Brian Kilmeade at 10:06. You will join with me opening up the show with Michael Goodwin. Perfect day for Michael Goodwin. Couldn't have a better day. But the Brian Kilmeade Show does start at 9 a.m. And at 9:06, I will be interviewing Jonathan Turley. I'm really looking forward to this. I've been a big fan of his for a long, long time. Very, very objective. And he's just been spot on. And then a guy who's not been afraid for quite a while now to tell the truth about Joe Biden. Got to give him a lot of credit. He's a medical doctor, you know, works for a very prestigious hospital, and he's not been afraid to tell the truth. I'm going to thank him for that. Dr. Mark Siegel this morning as well. So we have Jonathan Turley, we have Dr. Mark Siegel, we have Michael Goodwin, we have Cliff May, and Paul Morrow, who's a Fox News contributor. He's fantastic. Retired police detective who then went on to get his law degree, and he has been just fantastic with all of his coverage. All right, so now I'm going to hit the post button. This is on my Facebook page. If you missed any of that, you can go see who the guests are and check it out. All right, let's see. Here's another thing that the media has finally started to do. They're showing these step-by-step Joe Biden note cards. Let me give you an example, because I took a screen capture about these. Let's see. Here they are. One of them says, walk to podium. And this is unbelievable. They have a big photograph of where he has to go. It's scary. Then it has another one about the podium and the floor and how do you get out and all of this. You know, when you go, whether it's the Hurley in the Morning charity dinner at Resorts Casino Hotel in the grand, gorgeous ocean ballroom, we have a stage and there are stairs on each side. You know how Biden points and then he starts to walk a little bit, but first he points like, hey, I'm going to go this way. It's so unbelievable. And he almost always goes the wrong way. You would think just by accident, you know, this would be like a 50-50 proposition and you'd occasionally half the time, whatever, be going the right way. They always have to have people that point him back to the right way. And have you noticed since the debate disaster, I believe Biden now uses the big boy steps going up to Air Force One. See, they were getting away with all this stuff before. The baby steps, having people handle him, the note cards, the teleprompters, even at events where you're supposed to be taking impromptu questions, but he's reading a teleprompter. How long ago did I first tell you that Joe Biden, that they give the answer, they give the questions? Whether it's the White House creating the questions and they give them to the interviewer, or the interviewer giving the questions to Biden, I don't care. I probably both happen. I don't care which way it happens. The fact that it does is wrong. I told you once before, and I won't tell you no more. I'm just kidding. The time that we did our program for three straight days in January of 1995, when Republicans won the House of Representatives majority for the first time in 40 years. It was so exciting. We were beginning our third year in broadcasting. We took the show, Margie and I, Brother Don. We had a suitcase bomb. I mean, I'm sorry. It looked like a suitcase bomb. It was a beautiful suitcase. I wish I still had that suitcase. And it had our remote equipment. I'm telling you, we rolled up to our nation's capital and went right into the Capitol. Just to show you that it was so much simpler, the times. Oh, my God. If you tried to get in with that suitcase that we had, forget about it. I don't know what. There were wires and craziness. It was something, let's just say, you couldn't do today like we did it. And we did it legally. I mean, we went through the area that we were supposed to go through. It's just amazing. After September 11th, 2001, how things changed in this country. So we're doing the interview, and Don is wrangling for me, corralling people, Margie as well. And Patsy Schroeder, famous congresswoman, was going to come on. And then she says to Don, what does he want to talk to me about? Don said, I don't know. He said, just sit down. He doesn't give people the questions ahead of time. Just he's professional. Just sit down. And she wouldn't do the interview. She wanted to know what the questions were ahead of time. And I said to Don, I gave him the cut sign. Like, no, I don't care. I mean, I would have loved to have done the interview, but I'm not giving the questions before we do the interview. I said, I promise the questions will be fair, but I don't work like that. And this was 30 years ago. She wanted the answers or the questions ahead of time. And I remember thinking, this woman is on all these national programs. I guess they give her all the questions. She goes on with them. What am I, intimidating? I had remote equipment that looked like it came from, I don't even know where, J.M. Fields. So that's the way the game was played. You want to have them on? You give them the questions. Or I guess they give you the questions. I wasn't going to do either. They didn't offer me questions for the Patsy Schroeder interview, but she wanted to know my questions. So I said, I got a lot of great guests. I mean, that day was amazing, with all 3 days. Lobiondo's next door neighbor was Sonny Bono. And that was obviously before he had the skiing accident and passed away. He was a good congressman, by the way. And it just so happened that he and Lobiondo came in together. So they got their offices, the newbies, and they were right next to each other. But that was 3 days that I will always fondly remember, because we had everybody on, from Newt Gingrich to everybody that you can imagine. And it was fantastic. And there was such an excitement. I remember seeing zany John Boehner, and I'll just leave it at that. I said to Don Hurley, I said, we were near the member dining area. I'll just leave it at that. We might even have been in the member dining area. I'll just leave it vague. And I said to Don, I said, look at John Boehner. I said, now do you see why they never want to leave? Look at that. I'm telling you, it was fantastical. That was really during the days of Rostenkowski writing the checks to the Congressional Bank, writing checks he really couldn't negotiate, but they cashed anything for a member. It was like Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can, soaking the Pan Am planes, plastic model planes, in the bathtub, figuring out, hey, there's these things called routing numbers, and it takes like a week for anybody to catch up to what's going on. Crazy times. Times that will never be again. 609-407-1450. Phone lines are going to open for the full 7 o'clock hour coming up in just a little bit. We'll be right back. It's 47 minutes past the hour on the Hurley in the Morning program.
Hurley in the Morning.
The more we talk about it, the better.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Starting your day the right way with Hurley in the Morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio com. You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning.
Established, reputable.
Yep. WPG Talk All Radio that. 95.5.
We're back. Two references from wonderful guest listeners about my J.M. Fields reference. I'm telling you, I get tickled when you give me feedback like that, because I slip these little zingers in, and I always wonder, do they just like go over people's heads, or do they land? Like, do they really land and you get it, what I'm doing? All right, so there are these sort of quotables, notable quotables. And every once in a while, there's one that catches my ear that I think I can help make famous and that I think regardless will be famous on its own. The NEA president, I never heard of this person until this morning, a few hours ago, in an what has to be described as an unhinged rant. It was like Kamala Harris, just kept saying the same thing again and again and again. I can't stand that. Say it once if you want to, as a point of emphasis, or you tickle yourself and you want to say it a second time. All right, already, you know, no problem with that. But again and again and again, I'm talking about in one short period, this NEA president said, we must win all the things. And I thought, well, what the hell is she talking about? We must win all the things. Is this like, you know, the thing? I mean, what is this? Is this when, like, Jesse Jackson was saying, stay out the bushes? He didn't say stay out of the bushes. And then you had the whole DNC crowd. They're looking at each other like, he wants us to say this? And then they're like, oh, okay. And then they all start saying, stay out the bushes. Stay out the bushes. Remember, not stay out of the bushes. Stay out the bushes. Now we have the NEA president. We must win all the things. So I started thinking, what the hell is this? We must win all the things. Is this, do you mean we have to win presidency? I mean, and the House and the Senate? I mean, we got to win it all. What are you saying? I always, when someone speaks, and here's somebody in education, I don't want to need a Captain Crunch decoder ring. I want to just be able to understand. What are you saying? Are you saying that it's really important that Joe Biden win re-election and that Democrats retain the majority in the Senate and win back the majority in the House because then you stack the Supreme Court with like 15 people? Then we're really going to look like some kind of third world nation. Why don't we have 1,500? Why stop at 15? But she kept just saying, we must win all the things. We must win all the things. Again and again and again. I both hate it and I love it. It's kooky. It's zany. It's ambiguous. I don't know what the hell she means, but I guess it's sort of what I just described. We must win all the things. Okay. All right, lady. I'm with you. Let's join with her. We must win all the things. I mentioned about 50 minutes ago that David Axelrod said that Biden proves delusional, in denial, and this is the ABC News interview with George Stephanopoulos. Stephanopoulos, if you missed my little mini monologue on him, he both held Biden's hand and he asked him tough questions. It was an interesting approach that he took. Quote, only the Lord Almighty can persuade Biden to give up the race. Boy, do they want to keep that or what? Jill Biden and Hunter Biden? Does it make you feel warm and fuzzy that Hunter Biden is basically the commander-in-chief right now? He's the guy. He's writing speeches. He's making the call. He says that Joe's got to stay. Jill says that Joe's got to stay. Quote, it can't be the good Lord, but it should be the people who love and care for him and his closest advisors, said Axelrod in a CNN appearance. Quote, his portrait of where he is in this race doesn't comport with reality. You might remember, and I'm telling you, if you think that interview went well with Stephanopoulos, I mean, it was terrible. He was talking about how he is campaigning and running the world. His propensity as a provocateur, downright liar, even with his mental acuity problems, that is so deep-rooted. That's going to be one of the last things to go. That guy's been lying for so many decades about so many things. You know, he keeps on saying, and it's on the teleprompter, so you know it's prepared. He keeps on saying how Trump lied so many times during the debate. Joe Biden lied so many times during the debate that no soldiers have been killed during his presidency, which has never happened in American history, he says. Well, I mean, I know he never calls the parents when their children die, but we lost 13 in Afghanistan. Three others that I can think of make 16. I mean, what's this guy talking about? He doesn't know, is the reality. He flat out doesn't know. Did you know the Democrats are considering what they're calling a blitz primary? They want to have 4 weeks where any Democrat that wants to run for president enters this blitz primary, and then they pick someone before August. I'm telling you, the Democrats, they are in some serious disarray. 609-407-1450.
From Harry Hurley Way and the World's Playground to the Broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame, you're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Thank you. Welcome back. 7 minutes past the hour. All this hour, your phone calls at 609-407-1450. The only thing we need you to do is to call in. 609-407-1450. I just saw the cover of today's New York Post. New York Post, the best headline writers in history. No one better at it. Today it reads, "Time to go, Joe!" Exclamation point. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times these kinds of circumstances, whatever I want to see happen, the opposite happens. Like, I want Joe to stay. It's starting to just tell me with everything that I can feel that the exact opposite is going to happen, that he's going to go. And then that lets the Democrat media, oh my God, it lets them just run hog wild no matter what the Democrats do. Watch them reinvent Kamala Harris if she's the nominee, because they have no choice. Remember, Trump is completely unacceptable to them. Anybody but Trump for them. 609-407-1450, an open phone line. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Joe Biden, if he still has the ability to think, you better rethink that, invoking the will of the Lord Almighty, since it seems that the Lord Almighty of the Democrat Party is the devil himself, so he might want to think that over, you know. But I want to bring up the early involvement of the CIA in what was called the Golden Triangle. Remember, there was General MacArthur that went throughout Mao Zedong's communist forces before they could have it founded in October 1st, 1949, when he was told to step down by Truman. But he was still stationed in the Pacific. He was the supreme Allied commander of the Pacific Theater of the World War II. He took his station from the Philippines to Japan. he still could have aided Chiang Kai-shek, because now Chiang Kai-shek's been exiled to Taiwan, but now the CIA has taken over. They're working from the Golden Triangle, which is a large swath of Burma, Laos, and North Vietnam, which was called French Indochina at that time. Now, why wouldn't they want to use MacArthur with his wherewithal? Well, they're afraid the Soviet Union will be pulled in. But nonetheless, they're supplying weaponry and giving military advice to Chiang Kai-shek anyway. So they could have used MacArthur instead of the CIA. But what's important about the Golden Triangle is it's where opium was king. Now, opium's king in Afghanistan now. But actually, it was the CIA that took control of the opium fields in Southeast Asia. You know, people think that's aluminum foil wrapped speculation. Take into account Rodney Stitch, senior FAA airline safety inspector, who says there's multiple evidences that the CIA has been the biggest traffickers of heroin using airlines. And he said that back in 2010. Well, that goes back to, he said, for 60 years. So that goes back to 1950. So that's when the CIA took over the opium fields there. And also, Thailand had a general consulate in Miami proper, not Miami Beach, but inland. And they used that as a stepping stone to make contacts with Central and South American drug peddlers and those cartels and that. Now, it's a matter of fact that when Billy Bob Clinton was governor of Arkansas, the two boys were murdered, and that's Kevin Ives and Don Henry. Now, these are two boys who are out poaching at nighttime with their 22 rifles for rabbits. You know, that's illegal, but it's minor compared to what they saw. Now, understand that the MENA airport is a dilapidated hangar where you can land airplanes. That's in the middle of the Cochita State Forest, which is about 10 times the size of the Wharton State Forest. So it would be a great place to drop drugs. And they saw a drug drop there, and they got them killed. So, yeah, we have rogue people that have been controlling our country for too long. And yeah, we need a wake-up call for all the people, not just some of us. Winning hearts and minds is real important. I know they're just Hatfields versus the McCoys, but if you're so brainwashed that they think that this Democrat administration with its open borders, which are destructive to our country, pro-abortion, which is destructive to our country, okay, you have a freedom to abort, then you do it with your own money. You don't put it on the back of taxpayers. That's not liberty. So we have an anti-liberty government in place right now. That's what I want to say. Thanks.
You said it. Thank you. 609-407-1450, open phone line. Dan, you are on deck. Caller, you're on now. Go right ahead. Hi there.
Good morning. Very, very good morning. And, you know, Joe Biden also has to stop using Martin Luther King as a point scorer, because I guess you didn't know that Martin Luther King was a Republican, Harry. And I learned that from your show.
Thank you.
Also, I think... Jill Biden, okay? You answered all your questions, right? You get a participation trophy and a letter for your jacket.
She said, Joe, you did so great. You answered every question. Oh, my God. It was like the babysitter Jill came back. It was just terrible.
She
was the babysitter. You know that, right? That was not a throwaway line. She was the babysitter. Check it
Sometimes
out.
Sometimes you, more off times, you're much sharper than I. Okay.
She was Hunter and Bo's babysitter. Anyhow, back to you.
Okay. No, I was watching this morning and listening to your show, and I can't, you know, even Fat Nadler doesn't want this guy anymore. Maybe... Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, here's what I like, though. The commentator asked, a Democrat from New York, Corluccio. He said, you've got to admit, Biden, all right, didn't win. And he says, well, Biden didn't lose and Trump didn't win. So that's so atypical of the Democrats. They just take those words and they flip them over like a pancake, you know, this and that and this and that. But
Right. So if Biden didn't win... And then they say, I saw that, Andrea, that said Trump didn't win either. No, he did win, and he won by a lot. You just don't want to admit it. You can't bring yourself to admit it.
You know, what's sad about that is because we're so forgiving, Americans. If you say you're sorry, we pretty much, we'll take it.
Yeah.
But with the thing, and you know, it's sad, though, because I don't think he really understands, like Donald Trump, oh, my God. I'm sure Jimmy and Doug Fraser were loving it when they were asking his golf, right, his handicap.
Yeah.
And Trump said, I saw your swing.
Yeah. Well, you know what's so funny about it, though? Trump immediately, because he was very comfortable with the golf question, he immediately said, I've seen your swing. No way, you're a six. And Biden instantly said, I'm an eight. He went from six to eight, just like that.
Well,
but I promise you, he's not an eight handicap either. And Andrea, I didn't hang up on you. It hung up on us. 609-407-1450. More calls. You'll be next right after the break. And you'll be right after that. Please don't go away. It is the Hurley in the Morning program.
Hurley in the Morning.
It's breaking news that I can trust.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Now, here's the Morning Sean Hannity update.
He had a full week of preparation time for this. The worst part, though, is the stare. When they'd have a split screen, and Joe Biden was like staring, this very empty vessel stare of his, vacant stare, and at times incoherent. Yeah, it was painful, but it's also scary that everybody's known about this. Our enemies know about it. Our top geopolitical foes know about it. Terrorists around the world know about it. And they see a president of the United States of America this pathetically compromised. He's compromised physically. He's got no stamina. And he's a complete cognitive mess.
Join Sean later today right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey guys, breaking news. Did you hear that gold hit an all-time high? And based on market analysis, it could soar even higher. With inflation increasing, global tensions escalating, and central banks buying gold at record levels, the gold boom could skyrocket to over $7,000 an ounce. In fact, experts claim that the gold investing madness is just getting started. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who have diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Join the tens of thousands of people who have already joined the gold rush and diversified their savings with gold and silver. Call 855-815-GOLD now. That's 855-815-GOLD now. Now.
Enable our skill and tell your smart speaker, play WPG. Hurley in the Morning.
They really do separate fact from fiction.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you. Welcome back. 20 minutes past the hour, 609-407-1450. Phone lines are open. Programming note, reminder that you are stuck with me for seven straight hours, now six, because we put one in the record books already. We will be here with you until the end of Hurley in the Morning, and then we will sign on to guest host nationally, The Brian Kilmeade Show, and we have an incredible lineup today. Jonathan Turley, Dr. Mark Siegel, Michael Goodwin, Cliff May, Paul Morrow, and we're probably going to add one or two more. And if I know before we sign off here, I will tell you. If not, just check my Facebook page and we'll be updating that. But that alone is a great lineup if we don't do anything else other than those long-form interviews that we're going to do. Can you imagine? I mean, Dr. Mark Siegel, one of the few people that was willing as a medical doctor to say before it was safe. Now anybody's saying anything. But he said it when hardly anyone was willing to say it publicly, that there was an issue with Joe Biden. See, well, I want to see a true debriefing, autopsy, whatever you want to call it, all the enablers who a day before June 27th, Joe Scarborough, this is the strongest Joe Biden there's ever been. Oh, really? Then the next day he's talking a little differently, a whole lot differently. The whole crowd that defended the press corps, I think the Washington press corps, they should all be fired. They knew. this should go down as one of the biggest cover-ups in American history. Think about that. Nobody's really saying that. They're just now telling the truth. But they didn't before. They didn't just find this out on June 27th. They knew. And if they knew and said nothing, why? And if they knew, and not only didn't they tell the truth, but they spun it the other way, the Corinne Jean-Pierre crowd and all the ones that would say, oh my gosh, we can't keep up with him. We're exhausted. You just can't believe he's the sharpest guy in the room. Meanwhile, Kevin McCarthy said that he ran meetings with the cue cards. And McCarthy figured out how to get whatever he wanted. He just went off the cue cards. And then Biden didn't know what to do. So you had those, you know, there are acts of omission and there are acts of commission. You had those who purposefully said nothing. Then you had those that actually lied and said how engaged, how smart. He's the man with all the ideas. Nobody can keep up. This is amazing. You know, I said the other night, I said, at this one appearance he made, I said, he's going to do that thing where he pretends to jog. And as a former runner, I'm offended by it. He takes one fake stride, takes his arms like he's in a running posture, and then it begins and it ends. But somehow, in his demented state, Biden believes that that somehow must project vitality or something. It's got to be a reason. He's not running. He shuffles when he walks, so he's not running. You know, I could stand or sit here and pump my arms a couple times and fake like I'm running, but that doesn't make it running. That's how bad this has become. He can't walk, so there's no way he can run. And we know he's pretty shaky on the bicycle as it is. 609-407-1415, open phone line. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Well, the $140 million, is that what your favorite thing from James T. Kirk? What is the phrase?
It depends. I have many James T. Kirk phrases. Which
when
one?
When there's no answer to the problem.
Oh, it's the Kobayashi Maru.
Well, here's the Kobayashi Maru.
For those who don't know, Dan, the Kobayashi Maru is the no-win scenario. Every Starfleet captain, sort of student, if you will, in the academy, they all had to take the Kobayashi Maru. When there was no correct way to answer the question, they would judge them on how they handled their circumstances. Did they panic? Did they choke? They couldn't win, but did they do the best that they could? And somehow, you know, they identify leadership qualities. It's kind of like the interview when the boss nails the window shut and says, hey, could you open that? It's getting a little hot in here. Could you open that? And then they see a person like try to lift it and maybe bang it on the right side, bang it on the left side, shake it a little bit, shimmy it. And then they just see how that goes. The no-win scenario. Back to you.
Well, that's the ultimate person, but it's not James T. Kirk. It's Kamala Harris.
By the way, what does the T stand for?
Tiberius.
That is correct. Tiberius.
I don't know how he came up with that
Good job.
I even surprised myself on that one.
Way to go.
The idea of $140 million going to Kamala by law, and there's no way out of that because she gets it.
Correct.
And she's basically going to be the candidate.
She's the only one that can spend that money.
Correct.
They'd have to give it back otherwise.
And this is the same woman who, during the Minnesota...
But keep in mind, though, they could keep her VP.
Well,
she could spend the money as VP, and then they bring in Gavin Newsom or some other, you know, Democrat freak, which if there's going to be a switcheroo, I would love that, because can you imagine the racism calls and misogyny and the outrage. Oh, it would be unbelievable. That's why they're floating Kamala. I saw this is a Democrat rag, but I saw a Democrat rag that was promoting that Kamala Harris has a great record on the border, Ukraine-Israel war against Hamas. Now, that's laughable, all of that.
Oh, she did such a good job on the border, though, Harry. Did you miss that?
We just didn't know. Exactly. She did a great job. We just missed it.
The root causes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's an amazing thing, and they're going to have to run it on a loop. In the Trump campaign, if he runs against her, it'll be the bailout of the Minnesota and the rioting and all that stuff. Yep. And it's gonna come down to this. She says it's going to continue. It's going to continue after Election Day. It's going to keep. It should continue. Really?
Yeah.
Rioting.
In case you didn't know, she also really likes yellow school buses.
Yeah, and the passage of time is very, very.
The passage of time is interesting because there is a passage of time, and time passes because of the passage of time. And
yeah, and then I guess we get there in the yellow school bus, and everybody gets to be happy. And
correct.
Then what we do is we hire a bunch of children actors, and we talk about the space program.
There you go. Yeah, she was giddy about that.
Does it ever stop?
Never. No, it never stops.
And you're 100% right about the tank job that's going on, because George was basically told, Dana was told,
take him down.
Take him down.
Just anybody that cares to see if that's true or not true, go to the Drudge Report, which flipped from Matt Drudge to whoever owns it now. It can't be him. And it was pro Joe all the way. You have to go like 15 items before you get to something that's not only just negative towards Biden, I mean crushing Joe Biden.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is that you invited him to the Hurley Classic. The tournament would be over about 8 o'clock as he's shooting his 130.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you know, knowing Joe, I mean, he's a 6 handicap. And then Trump said, no, I've seen your swing. You're not a 6 handicap. He goes, I'm an 8 handicap. He acquiesced 2 strokes with 1 comment from Trump. This just in, I guarantee you he's not an 8 handicap either.
Well, he's got to be, I'd say he's about a 40.
Well, look at it this way. If you're,
that's not hyperbole.
No, Dan, I know what you're doing there. But just say, seriously, just say it was a par 72 course. Does anybody think that Joe Biden could shoot an 80, or initially he would have to shoot a 78? Does anybody really believe that Joe Biden can shoot anywhere near his age? I mean, the guy can't walk, he shuffles.
He really could. On a good day, and if the windmill wasn't hitting the ball, he could do that.
Dan, you're cracking me up. Have a good day, my friend.
Take care, brother.
You do the same. When we come back, you will be next, and you'll be right after that. It is the Hurley in the Morning program at the bottom of the hour.
This is the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network.
Yeah, I don't think he could break a hundy, but that's just me. 30 minutes past the hour, Hurley in the Morning, 3 stories that you can follow right now on the WPG Talk Radio 95.5 app. Atlantic City and others got hurt. The next New Jersey governor must fix Chris Christie's big mistake. 10 legends who made Philadelphia 6 ABC Action News great. And Ken Mosca wasn't the problem in Margate City. Read all about it.
Patients only.
From the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network, I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow. A fresh heat advisory goes into effect for inland South Jersey this morning, lasting through at least tomorrow. We're not ringing alarm bells for truly dangerous, deadly heat here, but you need to take care of yourself out there. Inland high temperature 91, a bit cooler along the immediate coast. We'll see periods of sun and clouds today. Partly cloudy and sticky tonight, low 75, mostly cloudy and 90 tomorrow. Get weather 24/7 wherever you are. Download our free mobile app today.
You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Hurley in the Morning.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is 36 minutes past the hour. Right back to your call, 609-407-1415. Open phone line. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harry. How you doing?
Very well, my friend.
Did you catch my email I sent concerning Stephanopoulos' book?
Oh, yes, I did.
What did you think?
I think you're accurate. I think you're, as usual, on point. I enjoyed it.
And if you can, please share it with the listeners. So, you know, because when I read it, and I just, how? I can't believe it.
For those wondering, so it's not just Peter and I having a conversation. Peter sent me yesterday an email, which was titled George Stephanopoulos' Book, The Situation Room. And then it goes into a bunch of stuff here from the 60s to 1985 and a whole lot of stuff all the way through to January 6th. It was very interesting, Peter.
But I tell you, he went to Columbia, Oxford, and Cambridge. And I tell you, he had to cut that class on world history or he was dozing off. And I graduated class of 85, the old Stockton State in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, you went to a good school. He went to schools with a name. You went to a good school. He went to schools with names.
Yes, yes.
That's all.
But I had to share it, and thank you for sharing it with listeners and all. And as always, it's getting crazy every day and scary. And one thing I brought up to my many calls, as always, a gentleman citing that when it becomes apparent of a missile launch, a president has X amount of time to make a decision by the time they come across from Russia or China across the pole to hit us. And it's even shorter if they're launched by submarine.
There you go.
And, you know, I have brought it up with, you know, with Republican congressmen, even a few Democrats on the issue, try to wake them up to the real world. To no avail. But the thing is, when you have X amount of minutes to make a decision on what to do, he is no way in hell able to make that kind of decision, or maybe anybody else who, any of his handlers.
Well, Peter, you're absolutely right with what you just said. And I actually saw two experts discuss this at length, that he would not be in a position to make a decision in time. That's flat out dangerous. And we are going to have to grapple with something that is beyond serious. And it is this: if Biden cannot be the candidate, then he can't be the president for the next 6 months.
That's it.
I mean, that's,
that is it.
That's got to be the deal. I mean, I think there's a reasonable chance. I wouldn't put much money on it, but it's probably a good bet that Kamala Harris is going to be the president. I don't mean after January 20th, 2025, but if Biden can't run, how do you say, oh, yeah, you know, just like before, he can't get charged criminally, he committed crimes. The special counsel, her, says Biden committed crimes. He's not prosecuting him because Biden doesn't have the mental acuity to be a defendant. Well, how the hell can he be the president then?
That's it. You know, but I'll tell you, it's getting scary every day.
It is.
And,
it is. Let me do this. Let me steal your sign-off tagline. Peter, have a blessed day.
Say every day.
Every day. See you, pal. Have a great one. 609-407-1450. Please, I know it's just logic, but I've been saying it since the moment of the Heard decision, not since June 27th. on Margie's birthday. I didn't wait for Margie's birthday to say that in the great debate. I've been saying it forever. Before Biden became president, I said he didn't have the mental acuity to be president, and I could see it. So all these other people that saw it and did nothing, or saw it and did worse, lied about it, including Kamala Harris. She's disqualified. She knows. She knew and she knows. And she's part of that echo chamber that told us, oh my gosh, his vitality, nobody can keep up with him. He's amazing. He's the guy with all the ideas, sharpest guy in the room. Meanwhile, Kevin McCarthy tells us he operates a meeting with note cards that are prepared. And if you get him off the note cards, he's completely flummoxed, lost, doesn't even know what's going on. But the moment the HER report came out, I said, whoa, wait a minute now. If he's too unwell to be a defendant, he can't be the president then. But of course, everyone just overlooked that. That just didn't matter. Because keep in mind, as long as a Democrat in name only is in charge, it's okay. I heard one of the little loons say, I would vote for a comatose Joe Biden instead of Trump. That's how sick they are. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Well, good morning, Harry.
Good morning.
And I'll be listening to you for quite a while.
Thank you.
You know, right now, I think Obama is playing the United States, America, Biden, and the Democrat Party like a Netflix film, so that they beg Obama's wife and Hillary to run. And you know what, Peter?
Great. Well, why would you ask them both to run? To get one of them? You don't think for them to be the ticket, do you?
Yeah, I think that for
them. Yeah, but come on. How do you get rid of Kamala Harris? African-American female incumbent vice president. Now, it'd be one thing trying to have someone be the presidential candidate and explaining that away. If they tried to nominate Michelle Obama and Hillary for president and for VP, and the two of them would need to have some kind of steel cage match, because which one of them would agree to be the VP? Neither would agree to be subservient to the other. So that's a problem. That would be a real catfight. And then how do you just knock Harris out cold? And then, oh, by the way, what about that $140 million parked on the sideline, Craig? How am I doing?
Well, pretty good.
Okay.
But first of all, Kamala is as black as Vivek.
Well, no, I'm just telling you what the storyline is. I'm not getting into
it. I know what the storyline is.
Yeah.
But we got to say that. Because you know what? Nobody ever does say that. So they should stop that. And, is she a woman of color? Absolutely. So is Vivek. And actually,
well, I have to give her this. She identifies as African American. So how do you take that? How do you take that away? I know the fake white woman identified as African American too. But I think this is different than that.
And we had a senator, identify as an Indian.
Correct.
So am I correct?
Native American, but. Yeah.
Yeah. So that let opened up a door for people just to identify as a turtle, a dog. Okay.
That is how they want it. A teacher got either fired or disciplined. I forget which, but it's one or the other. Got in trouble because they would not play along. A child was identifying as a cat, and the child was making meow noises and all this stuff, and disrupting the classroom. The teacher disciplined the student when the student would not stop it, and the teacher got disciplined for not respecting that the student identifies as a cat. This is the country this is the country we live in until Trump wins on November 5th.
Well, we need to do.
Can you imagine getting disciplined because you wouldn't put up with some snot-nosed kid faking like they're a cat?
Well, it's not about that kid. It's about the whole classroom. There's the problem, Harry, that in my opinion. I'll say that.
Well, it's about the kid, too, because they all find out that they can identify today as a girl and go into the girl's locker room and do all these things. It's just accepting this kind of, situation that is not normal and making it as though it is normal and that you're intolerant if you don't support that. Look, if I was the substitute teacher for the day and somebody was meowing in the classroom, I would politely ask them to stop. And if they didn't stop, they'd be out of the classroom.
Of course. You have a lesson that you have prepared for your students to bring them up to a higher level. And that's what we expect out of our schools. Not any of this. We're not there for emotions. School systems are there for
By the way, you're going to owe me breakfast. Do you want to go for lunch? That Hillary and Michelle Obama will not be the ticket. I'm happy
well, how
to.
How am I going to?
Let's go for lunch.
How am I going to owe you breakfast?
No, you're going to owe me breakfast because you're not going to win the first one.
Well, how's that?
Well, what has to happen for you to win that?
Well, I think at the end of the day, because this is where we need to clarify. I think we might even need it.
Well, the end of the day will simply be
when there's... We might have to bring Paul D'Amato.
No. The end of the day is going to be when there's a nominee for the Democrat Party.
Oh, I thought that once we had the switcheroo-ski.
Oh, no, that's a separate... That's on parlaying. That's a separate one. It's not going to be Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton. You came on saying it's going to be Michelle and Hillary. They're going to be begged to be the ticket. And I'm guaranteeing you, I won't say that one of them won't be on the ticket. I don't think that Hillary will be on the ticket regardless, under no circumstances. They don't want her. She's already run and lost. It's not going to happen for her. But you had come on and you seemed very confident about it. I just wanted to, say I'm willing to put lunch on the table of me having the privilege of having your company and you buying me lunch when Michelle and Hillary are not the ticket. All you have to do is say, yes, I accept.
Well, I think that I'm going to say this. I'm sticking for my first bet, but I will say this.
I'm saying let's do both.
Okay. It's definitely not going to be Kamala and Joe as the ticket. Do you agree with me there?
I'm not ready to concede that, but it's looking like Joe. I'm not there yet. So I can't say certainty because you know how I work. When I'm sure of something, I say it. When I'm unsure, I say I'm unsure. I am leaning towards Joe is not going to be the Democrat nominee. It's looking bad for him right now, but it's not over yet.
Breakfast, right?
Say again?
That would get me breakfast.
No, it would have to be Michelle.
No, Michelle was for the dessert case for me.
Well, okay, I'll go for it. But I will say you're looking good on the second. The dessert is not looking good. You're looking good, though, on Biden not being the nominee. I don't think he's going to make it. So you're looking good there. So give me the third one. We'll have three. You say it's going to be Michelle and Hillary, and I say no way. Just say yes.
I don't know how it's going to be.
Just say
but
yes.
I think that might be.
All right. Well,
and
say,
you know what else they say?
Say yes.
Harry,
why won't you say
I
yes?
I want to break.
You won't say yes?
I'll say yes.
Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. All right. But can I just say one other thing? And,
real quick.
And I don't mind buying
real
you lunch.
Quick.
I love
thank
buying you
lunch. Thank you.
Think about Barack being vice president. That's legal.
No, it's not legal.
It is.
Oh, it's not, Craig.
Wait. Check it out. Check it out.
Craig, I'll pull out my pocket. You want to bet a fourth?
No.
Obama is not eligible to be vice president. He cannot run for president or vice president. I will prove it next. That was when the amendment was passed on the two terms. You can serve more than two terms if you serve less than 2 years of an unexpired term. So you could serve nearly 10 years. But Obama, after serving two full terms, is constitutionally, unambiguously ineligible to run for president or vice president. Believe in your slightly younger brother Harry, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I am 100% certain of what I just said. I got to go, though, Craig. Have a good day. I'm going to eat well, and I want to thank you in advance for it.
People all over the Jersey Shore have found the easiest way to stay connected to South Jersey's talk station. It's the WPG Talk Radio app. Read free, unlimited South Jersey news. Listen to your favorite talk shows. Send us breaking news tips and more. The WPG Talk Radio app is powered by Smokers Haven. You'll find the finest selection of cigars at any of their five locations. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. SmokersHavenNJ.com. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Starting your day the right way with Hurley in the Morning.
We need to just listen to the facts.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
I did a little quick homework during the break, and here's the deal. Can a former president, meaning a two-term president, run as vice president? This is my conclusion. But I'm telling you, there are people who will disagree with me on this. But I agree with me strenuously. Under the 12th Amendment to the United States Constitution, quote, no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president of the United States. Seems totally unambiguous to me that you can't do it. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Kind of a sidetrack question for you. Could you talk to your program director and find out what happened to the Walter Sterling show on Sunday?
I will check on that. I know Walter very well. I will check on that, and I will report back to you, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Now, we have time to take one more call. I do want to remind you we have the rest of Hurley in the Morning, the second half, and then I hope you will stay with us. I hope you stay with us every day anyhow when we turn it over to Brian Kilmeade. But today, I will actually turn over the Brian Kilmeade show to me, to us. We're filling in today. We have an amazing guest lineup. Jonathan Turley, I think, would agree with me on the question of can a two-term president run for vice president or be named vice president or any of the above? If you're not eligible to be president, you can't be vice president. We have Jonathan Turley this morning. We have Dr. Mark Siegel. We have Michael Goodwin. We have Cliff May. And we have Paul Morrow, who is a fantastic legal analyst. He does a terrific job on the Fox News Channel. That's all happening today on the Brian Kilmeade Show, and we'll take calls as well. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Harry. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
It was good to hear you talking about going to D.C. for those 3 years, and I used to go in and out of the house a couple times a year to visit somebody, a rep I knew, and it was a breeze walking through $100 metal detector,
that
and
was it.
You didn't need an appointment, and
the idea was, it's a shame that the radicals got away with changing our country, because it's the people's house. It was supposed to be that way. You used to be able to pull right up to the White House, and then they had to put all those barricades in and stuff.
And in part, 20 Saudis took a big bite out of the Constitution on 9/11.
Well, we let them. I mean, we let them change the country. We have to figure a way to protect the country without surrendering so many civil liberties. This is the end of the hour, so I've got to run. I owe you more time next time, I promise, but I'm glad we got you in. Stay with us. It's Hurley in the Morning.